You're listening to Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to. This is Hidden Mysteries Radio for Friday, October 23rd, 2015. How you doing, Ghost?
I'm wet.
Oh, no, don't say that. People are going to think we're running a triple X show here.
And we're all wet here.
Yeah, it's raining here. Fall.
Those are rare days in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. You know, regardless of what the calendar says about the seasons, I believe fall happened yesterday.
I think it just came up all of a sudden overnight.
Yeah, I was in town all day doing the things I have to do, and on the way back it was all cloudy and all, and the wind was blowing. First time we've had wind and I don't know when.
I know.
And the leaves are all falling off the trees, and that's why I say, hey, it's fall today. It just happened. And the wind's blowing out of a different direction now. It's finally coming out of the northwest like it does during the...
Kind of a cool, warm blow. It's kind of different here.
Yeah, it's...
You get a moment of warm and a bone of cool.
It's much better than the wind we have most of spring and summer, which blows straight out of hell, wherever that is.
Gulf of Mexico. BP's.
Oh, man.
Old Derrick's.
Yeah, this part of Texas that we live in... and don't get me wrong, I love it. I wouldn't live anywhere else. But
I would.
Would you? Where would you live?
I'd go back down to Yoakum.
Oh, okay. Well, it's probably nice there, but I love it here. This is where my people are from. I like the countryside. I like just about everything about what goes on here, except for the same problem I would have anywhere I go, the dumbasses and
the cops.
Well, yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, but, you did say dumbasses.
Well, I wasn't limiting it to them, but anyway, the damned humidity and the allergens, that's the only thing, because this area that we live in, we're in northeast Texas, and the landscape around here is a lot more similar to, say, Arkansas, areas that are kind of bordering the Ozarks. It's very hilly here. There's lots of pine trees here, lots of oak trees here, that kind of stuff. This is a wooded area. This is the eastern tip.
A lot of ragweed.
Yeah. This is the eastern tip of what they call the, this is the western tip of what they call the Great Eastern Forest that comes all the way from Florida to here.
Down to the big thicket.
Right, right. And, down there by Davy Crockett National Forest. I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we do have our little change of seasons going on here, and that's a good thing. We've needed this rain, and we're getting it. Unfortunately, some of us can't keep all the rain outside.
Problem is, we need about 30 inches on the water table.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll get it.
It'll just run off if it goes down that fast.
Well, no, I don't mean today. If we get 30 inches today, we might should build an ark.
I think it's going to take, about 100 inches to get the 30-inch table?
And something like that. If it rains all at once, if it rains a little bit every day, the uptake rate in the aquifers, I think, is a lot better. But I'm neither a meteorologist nor am I a geologist. So, you know.
You can go down to San Marcos and go down and check the water table of that lake.
Yeah, you talked about that a couple of weeks ago on a show, and I plan to do that sometime. I'd love to do that. And there's a lot of things in Texas. Texas is so big.
It's an underground lake you can go down and look at.
Yeah, San Marcos is an awesome place, too.
Oh, yes.
I've been there before. I had it when I was a wild young youth. I had a friend who was going to Southwest Texas State University there. And I went and visited him a few times. It's not called that anymore. I think it's a Texas A&M at San Marcos or University of Texas at San Marcos one now. But it used to be its own Texas.
It's the only place I've ever been to a small lake where they have to mow it every day.
Have to mow the lake every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
I've never seen them mow a lake till I saw that one.
Yeah. Well, they do it here somewhat, too, on this lake, but not so often.
I mean, you look down there and you see the – it's like a forest at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah. Oh, you mean they go into the water and mow it?
Yeah, they mow it under the water.
Oh, wow. Well, now that's an underground lake too, right?
The underground fed from a spring, yes.
Oh, but the lake itself's not underground.
No, it's called Aquarina Springs there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, they have that giant natural swimming pool out in West Texas over by Marfa or somewhere like that. It's fed by springs like that. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't been there, huh?
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, San Marcos.
Devil's Cave out there, but
yeah, San Marcos is. What did you find the devil in there?
No, but he's deep.
Oh, okay. Well, he's probably down there then, or actually, you know, that's a big.
I didn't see Cheney at all.
Oh, well, I was going to say that's a big misunderstanding because nowhere in the Bible does it say the devil lives in or has been to hell.
No, right? Said everybody, the Christians say that Jesus has.
Right. Yeah, I know, but
and people are sent to hell for being bad, right?
Yeah.
And he went down and let them go.
Right.
It don't make any sense.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he wants to disappoint them real bad when he throws them in the lake of fire.
Making room for the new one, Christians.
I don't know. Anyway, speaking of which, and I'm not going into this as a snarky interlude. It just, for some reason, it just occurred to me. I wanted to say at the top of the show that our local newspaper man has passed away.
Yes.
J. Tom Graham. He's been, he was like 73 and he'd been working on newspapers for something like 60 years.
Since he was 16.
Yeah. And, I think he, you know, he liked us okay personally, but he didn't like a lot of what we did in our activism with the concerned citizens thing, but that was okay. He still covered it. If it hadn't been for his paper, I would have never found the website to, you know.
He's a good man. He's good for what he does. He's in a particular time of his life. He didn't care about being an activist any longer.
Right. Well, he was a good old man. I disagreed with him on virtually 100% of political stuff, but he was a real good example of the old Texan gentleman. You know, regardless of what kind of dealings you may have had with him or whatever, when you saw him in person, he was always a gentleman. He was always polite, and he'd always talk to you. So our thoughts go out to the Graham family, I guess.
I miss him.
Yeah, we are. And his son, Jay, has been the one running the newspaper for a while, so maybe we'll have the same family continue running the paper. I hope so. It's a good little old paper for a little small town weekly.
It's hard to find small papers anymore.
Yeah, and that is one. That paper's been around for over 100 years.
Yes.
And anyway, which is really old for anything in Texas, you know, for something like that anyway. Yeah,
even oppression.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyhow, so there's that. Now, I want to address a little something that happened yesterday. Some anti-whites got upset at me. I got home from all my running around and things that I was doing, and I saw the same old crap, people doxing me on Twitter, which doesn't bother me really, but I always figure, you know, they always think that they've really accomplished something, when the fact is I'm not one of these people who's hiding who I am. Everybody knows who I am. But so I thought I'd give it back to them in kind. And it turned out that the people who were doxing me over my past were currently in all kinds of trouble for way worse stuff than I was doing. And they got really butthurt when I doxed them back. And they got this group of hackers to try to hack our server, which they were completely unsuccessful. They maybe, the jury's not even in whether they had anything to do with it, but they were taking credit for a couple of the upstream routers being down, right? And so, you know, they say, oh, you should have expected us. We're awesome hackers. And then 10 minutes later, our websites are back up with no damage whatsoever. But the reason I bring this up is they always say that you know you're directly over the target when you're receiving flack. And I want to let everybody out there know, whether you like what we do or you don't like what we do, you're not going to intimidate me. You're not going to run me off anything, and you're not going to back me down. Every time anybody tries this crap with me, I'm right back, bigger than life, twice as ugly, and twice as loud. So,
and I'm just too old to give a damn.
Right, right, right. Well, if these people knew anything about me, I think you can probably back me up on this, Ghost. The worst thing that you can do to me is leave me in peace. Because
they ought to leave you alone.
Yeah, because
they bring more attention to you than anything.
Well, not just that. If there's one thing I love doing, it's fighting. And when they attack me, I get motivated. So now I'm motivated.
I'm not for learning and teaching and studying anything I don't know.
Right, me too.
I'm not for tearing down anybody or anything or any culture because of what I want to learn different.
Well, I'm not trying to tear people down, but when they try to tear me or my people down by accusing us of things that maybe they did too, or maybe we didn't even do, but they did, I'm sure they perceive my response, which exposes the truth about it, as tearing them down. If somebody wants to...
That's not what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
I know it's not, but I just want to be clear about that. But yeah, I'm not... My thing is...
All I'm saying, if you're pro-Aryan, does not make you anti-Negroid.
No, it doesn't. But
anti-Semitic or anti-whatever else.
Oh, look, I'm not anti-anybody. I think every group has the right to exist
and be proud
to prosper,
be proud of their culture and their history,
to their own self
accomplishments,
yeah, to their own self determination and all that. But here's where the rubber meets the road: they don't have a right to our shit. They don't have a right to come take over our countries and start running them.
Well, I've got I've got a problem with the way Israel. I'm not going to say Jews. It's not all Jews, but Israel is handling the world's affairs. Because if you read their history, their purpose of existence is supposed to be about spirituality, not about materialism, not about gold and silver, not about land, not about nation building, but about spiritual matters.
Yeah.
And they've lost their path. They've lost their way.
As a group, I've never seen anyone who is less spiritual.
They've lost their path.
Here's the thing. The vast majority of Zionist Jews don't even believe in God, but they do believe he promised them Israel. I mean, how do you work that shit out?
They've already got it. Baron Rothschild owns it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight,
too. When Baron Frankenstein owns your property, who cares?
Right, right.
Oh, that was a Freudian slip, wasn't it?
speaking of Baron Frankenstein, Ghost, before we get too deep into the show, let's talk about next week, because we're going to have our regular Wednesday night show and Friday night show, but we're also going to do a show on Saturday for Halloween, and you have a ghost, I'm not a ghost, you have a book about the real Frankenstein, who
Andrew Cross,
yeah, who Mary Shelley watched his experiments and got the idea for the book from, and that's going to be at least one of the things we're going to talk about. Ghost has some other cool books on spooky topics.
I think this is the only book I found out there about Andrew Cross.
Right, but you have books on other spooky topics,
ghostly pets.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one I was about to bring up, and you've got books on witches and
psychics,
vampires,
apparitions,
and all kinds of
ghost hunters.
So we're going to have a really spooky
Amherst mystery.
Yeah, we're going to upload a really spooky Halloween show Saturday morning or afternoon, and when we do that, I'm also going to
you're all obligated to send me one Snicker bar.
That's right. That's right. Ghost,
I love my Snickers.
Ghost needs candy. If you don't give him a treat, he might trick you. But and you don't want Ghost to trick you.
Snickers.
Snickers. Is that your favorite?
That's
Ghost?
That's my favorite one.
All right. Well, everybody, send your Snickers to Hidden Mysteries.
I need a few more pounds, don't I?
Yeah. Send your Snickers to Hidden Mysteries. Coffee City 7573.
Someone docks anybody sends me a ha ha, calls that a Snicker.
Yeah, and yeah, right, right. And just mail it to Hidden Mysteries at
Snicker Department.
No, just put Coffee City 75763 on there, and the postman will find us.
I doubt it.
Anyway,
usually all my boss Snicker bars.
Oh, I know. You know how they do at the post office. But anyway, in addition to doing the Halloween show, I will also be uploading about 24 hours long worth streaming audio of spooky Halloween music. And I'll make sure and find some good stuff. And that way, when all you good people out there are having your Halloween costume parties or handing out candy to the kids and all like that, you can just log on to Hidden Mysteries Radio and play your Halloween music for your background music if you like. So anyway, that's just another great public service provided to you by Hidden Mysteries Radio for no charge.
Good luck.
Aren't we great, Ghost?
Good luck uploading it.
Don't worry. I'm not going to wait until Saturday.
It takes 24 hours to upload it.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait until Saturday to start the upload.
You better upload about 6 hours and hit repeat.
Well, what I'll probably do is start uploading it tonight, and once it's finally uploaded or whatever, I'll just wait and post it next Saturday. But anyway, for our first topic, I want to talk about a little something that I noticed, and I'm not the only one who noticed this, that happened over the last week is a big coincidence. Do you believe in coincidence, Ghost?
No.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Okay, first off, Minnesota, the governor of Minnesota has said that anyone who doesn't like living in New Somalia needs to leave. Let me quote him. This is from the Daily Globe. It says, "Harsh words and heartfelt sentiment were exchanged by community members and local officials on racial issues in central Minnesota at the St. Cloud NAACP community conversation with Governor Mark Dayton." This happened Tuesday. From the start of the event, I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. I'll post the article for folks to read. Ghost is always on me, and he's absolutely right. People tune into this show to hear me talk. They don't tune into this show to hear whatever somebody else wrote. So, but anyway, here is the quote. "Look around you. This is Minnesota," Dayton said. "Minnesota is not like it was 30, 50 years ago. This is Minnesota, and you have every right to be here. And anybody who cannot accept your right to be here, and this is Minnesota, should find another state." So right off the bat, the first thing that you need to understand is, according to Mark Dayton, a room full of Somalians is Minnesota.
I hope they're moving into his neighborhood. He needs to put that tent city right in his backyard.
Well, right. Well,
he's so much in love with this nonsense.
Yeah, well, check this out. I mean, you see stories like this every day. This is Minnesota. Somali rapes child. And there's just a huge gallery here of Somalians who have raped children. So in the latest incident of America's sex crime epidemic, Minnesota authorities charged a Somali man, Ahmed Hersi Abdi, with 2 degrees of first-degree sexual misconduct for raping a 10-year-old girl in her apartment. Somali witnesses reportedly heard blood-curdling screams from the hallway and found the victim undressed and crying. The victim told police Abdi followed her into the elevator and up to the third floor hallway. The stranger asked for the victim's name and shook her hand. When she tried to let go, she says he held on to her, demanded she turn around, and pulled down her pants and raped her. Police and local media rushed to reassure indigenous Minnesotans that child rape is not indicative of immigration policy failure and that capturing an imported child rapist is proof of its success. Now, that's predictable of them to say, isn't it?
To catch one after they already did it.
Right.
Real smart.
Please stop looking at that tiny body lying on the floor of some hallway. Please stop asking questions. If you don't, you're a racist. But anyway,
I'm looking at a picture of Governor Dayton. He's got that oil in his eyes, just like they used to have on X-Files.
Yeah, yeah.
See that oil just sliding through his eyeballs.
And then, of course, it says one Somali community member raping another community member is not the fault of the community, explained a Somali community activist. And
white Minnesotans.
Right. Racist.
Move to Texas. Be here to vote Texas out of this union.
Do you know what the average IQ of...
That's what the white Minnesota needs to do.
Do you know what the average IQ of a Negroid Somalian is? 60. Right. 60. Why do we allow any of them over here? What do we need with a 60 IQ Somalian? There's no place in the workforce they can be effective. No place. They're too stupid to push a mop.
Slave labor. That's what they're looking for, and that's what they're getting.
Yeah, well...
And y'all thought slavery was dead. We're just importing them like crazy now.
They're not importing slave labor. They're importing foot soldiers for the despots that we're going to talk about a little later when we talk about your book. What's it called? History of the Aryan Peoples? Is that what it's called? Or Aryan History races, of the Aryan, Aryan Races. Yeah, yeah. Which is an excellent book that Hidden Mysteries sells. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because I think our listeners will enjoy it because it objectively talks about a lot of the great things that the various Aryan races have done and where they come from and all that. Right, Ghost?
Yes. Where they began. Where the mysterious beginning.
Yep. And Ghost and I, being white people who don't have some kind of sick hatred of ourselves, we have white pride, and there's nothing wrong with white pride. Black pride is okay. Latino pride's okay. You hear about gay pride all over the place.
We need a white history
month
on that.
Somehow white pride is racist, according to the anti-whites. But we don't listen to the anti-whites here, do we, Ghost?
I want all these disenfranchised white people to come to Texas and help us vote her out of the union.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Now... The reason that I said coincidence is because just about the same day that governor of Minnesota said that if you're a Minnesotan who doesn't like being invaded by Muslim rape-ape refugees, then you should move. You should leave Minnesota because this is not Minnesota 30 years ago. Okay. Well, at the same time, you know, they're having that massive invasion in Europe, and the Germany's district president, which district president is their equivalent of a governor over there, his name is, let me try to pronounce it like a German would, Walter Lübcke, I guess is how you say it.
Translated dipshit.
I think so. If I read it in English, it would be Walter Lübcke. At a town meeting in Lofelden, where he was explaining that this tiny little town has to accommodate like 400 more illegal immigrants that day or whatever, he said that any German has the right to leave Germany, that this is not the Germany of 30 or 50 years ago. Now, that's exactly what Mark Dayton said.
Well, you got to remember, when the masters put the word out, they're all on the same cue card.
Who are the masters, Ghost?
City of London.
The City of London. Who owns that?
Baron B. Frankenstein Rothschild.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that... But yeah, this stuff's not a coincidence. This stuff is, that's.
I remember Baron Rothschild started this long before Zionism even came to the forefront.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about, let me bring up this article that you emailed me the other day so I make sure.
We'll go and finish your story about the German governor.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, the people in the audience were booing and hissing.
Well, I still, that's counting about half of them look like they were blonde headed.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, yeah. But there weren't any migrants in that room. These illegal immigrants,
I saw one that might have been a Muslim.
A plant, yeah.
That was a little lady in their garb, it looked like.
But the thing is, these migrants don't have any community involvement there. And this meeting was some kind of an emergency meeting about the schools, because the German kids and the teachers are getting beat to shit in the schools by these migrants. And it's so bad. And I'll find the video if I can find it somewhere. You know, that channel Jesu at Work that I liked uploading their videos as exhibits to what we were talking about, because they were just raw news videos with the English translations. It got taken down, the whole channel. YouTube says it violated their guidelines, which their guidelines are don't defend white people no matter what. That's the main YouTube guideline. But anyway, so I'll try to find that if it's up anywhere. But yeah, the Germans are starting to wake up to this stuff.
White German needs to be moving to Texas. We got a whole central Texas was, call it, basically created by German peoples. New Braunfels.
Yeah.
That whole area.
Yeah, there were lots of German immigrants. Okay.
Got to put that Western city with the big wine growers, too.
Right. Well, like I say, the Germans are starting to get really pissed at this. We've talked before about...
Well, they can come help us vote Texas out of the United States.
Yeah, we've talked before about how they're burning down...
They're not helping Germany vote themselves out of the EU.
Yeah, right. But, well, they may be in the very near future. But anyway, we talked about how they've been burning down their own buildings, like their schools and gymnasiums and stuff, rather, you know, at a really fast pace, lots and lots of this arson, rather than let them be turned into immigrant housing centers.
You have to take Trump's sentiment serious, and hope he means it.
Oh, by the way,
don't get too comfortable.
Later on in the show, we're going to talk about something Trump said yesterday.
Go ahead.
We're going to talk about Trump shutting down the mosques. Trump says shut down the mosques. But anyway,
that might be a little over the limit. But
we'll see when we talk about it.
The mosque out here in the other side of Tyler never caused anybody trouble.
Not yet.
Never has. Never would. We don't school, little community.
We don't have 20% Muslim yet.
Also got a Sikh temple down near Austin.
Yeah. Well, when you get your area about 20% Muslim, there'll be nothing but trouble coming out of it. But anyway, check this out. This is another little symptom or whatever of German resistance. This is from the BBC. A leading candidate in Cologne's mayoral race has been stabbed in the neck in what officials are saying is a politically motivated attack. Henriette Ricker, an independent candidate supported by Chancellor Angela Merkel's CDU party, was wounded in the neck in the attack on Saturday. Local police said Ms. Ricker, 58, was stable but not out of the woods. Officials said the attacker may have been targeted because of her role in looking after refugees in the city. And what they mean by looking after refugees is making sure they get as many of them in there as they can.
So a refugee attacked her?
No, a German.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, they caught the guy or what? I just wondered.
Police have arrested a 44-year-old German national and Cologne resident. He told officials he attacked Mrs. Ricker because of anti-foreigner motives.
Hey, that's what it's going to take.
Yep.
But they need to plan it a little more professional than that.
Well,
it takes, you got to have 1,000 stab wounds and 1,000 knives and nobody can say who did it.
Right, right. Well, you always have to have a couple of martyrs first before people.
Not if you play it smart.
Whoever has.
Martyrs don't come back to help.
Right, but whoever, well, I don't mean a literal martyr like a dead one. Yeah. You know, I mean, like if you want to look at these, it's German history of resistance to this shit.
Hitler learned a lot by watching the old crime shows on TV.
Hitler went to prison for treason.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about, martyrdom. And look what it did for him. He wrote Mein Kampf while he was in there.
Was it the Rosenberg went to prison for treason?
They were executed for that.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, they gave away our atomic secrets to the Bolsheviks.
Zyblogs?
No, to the Bolsheviks, to the Russians. Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. Anyway, so I thought that was interesting.
We've been making... the American people have been making enemies of their kinfolk and what about people that should have been our allies for all this time. We've made enemies.
Right.
Russia being the biggest one. It's most like the United States.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot that can be said about that. Let me pull this up here.
I understand the argument with Stalin, but that's neither here nor there. Those days were long gone.
Let's see. I've just about got what I'm looking for here. There it is.
We're okay. Push American democracy on a democratic nation.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. You know, you're talking about making enemies of the Germans and stuff over there. Why did we kill Germans between 1941 and 1945? Well, there's a lot of bullshit reasons why we did it. But let me list off a few of the real reasons. We killed Germans so the Jews could control our media. We killed Germans so the Jews could control our banks. Wow,
this is nonsense.
Is it? How? You're
not facts.
How is it not a fact? Who got us into that war?
You don't know.
Well, Roosevelt, for one.
Roosevelt.
Rosenfeld.
Yeah, I know.
And he got us into it because he hated Germans. And what were the results of these things?
It doesn't matter. That's not historical, you're reading.
Well, no, it's my opinion.
Yeah.
What's wrong with my opinion?
Well, it's not historical. You let me know the reasons.
Yeah, that's my opinion. My opinion, these are the reasons. They control our banks now. They control our money. They control our government. Our militaries all over the world dying for Israel. They've been behind all this immigration, and we got foreigners destroying our cities. Foreigners are running our civil and public services. We're prisoners in our own homes in many parts of our countries. And if it keeps going like this, our people will be lost forever. And this is all, whether or not
90% of that started in 1861.
I agree. But without World War II, it sure wouldn't be where it is now.
The Union never would have won had it not been for the city of London.
Right. Oh, hey, speaking of which, I did a little research. Interesting that the only Jewish official in the Confederate government, you know, I talked about on the show a few weeks back. I'm talking, of course, about Judah Benjamin, the Secretary of the Treasury. You know, and I said, and it turned out I was right. I wasn't sure if I was right because it had been so long since I'd looked into it. But about halfway through the war, they sent Judah Benjamin over to Europe, and he was supposed to, with all the Confederate gold, and he was supposed to deposit it in French banks to where it would be safe no matter what happened, where they could use it, where they could buy armaments and ships and stuff with it, and he never did. He kept that money, and after the war, he moved down to Belize and wasted it all on a sugar plantation, and eventually ended up back in London being a lawyer like he was before he came to the South.
Yeah, much the same way with Salmon P. Chase, who was also a Jewish, but he was Secretary of the Treasury, Chief Justice, and Secretary of State, Secretary of the War. He had every position up there.
That's the Chase Bank guy.
You got him.
Yep, yep.
And he stole billions from the U.S. Treasury.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, look at what, now it's not from the Treasury, it's from our monetary system, I guess is the way you'd look at it, but... Look at how the people like the Rothschilds and other international Jewish bankers.
They didn't steal anything from our monetary system. They are our monetary system.
Right, right. But
they don't steal from themselves.
Yeah, but they steal from us every time they increase the money supply. Because
they steal from us in more ways than just that.
Well, I know, but every time they increase the money supply, like when they double the money supply, they'll take they lower our purchasing power by 50%, but they don't give us.
And then they lower, that does the same thing to the national side of things, which turn around and raise your taxes to get more money out of
you. Yeah. But you know, the Rothschild family, whichever one, I think the one who's the head of it now is also named Nathan, like old Nathan Mayer. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But anyway, It's Jacob. Jacob Rothschild's the old patriarch right now. Anyway, that son of a bitch is estimated to be worth $600 trillion. He's worth more than any nation on earth.
More than the rest of the earth.
Right. How did he get all that?
Stole it.
Exactly. It was his...
He printed it, actually.
I believe it was his great-great-grandfather who said, "Give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not for their laws."
Netanyahu on the radio said, "The United States will do what I tell them."
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you brought up Netanyahu. Before we go to break,
We're going to talk about Bibi again?
We're going to talk about Bibi and Angela Merkel.
And his little bombs?
Well, okay. Something very interesting has happened.
They got married?
No, not exactly. I mean, bringing this up, I wasn't prepared because I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but...
When's Merkel coming out of the closet?
I wish she ever in it.
Well, let everybody know she's really a man.
Right. Okay, here we go. Merkel condemns...
Merkel and Hyde?
Yeah, Merkel condemns Netanyahu. This is from Daily Stormer. Merkel condemns Netanyahu, says Germans collectively responsible for 6 million lampshades. Okay. Now, yesterday, for some reason, Netanyahu came out in defense of Adolf Hitler. He said, this is from Haaretz, from the,
Haaretz.
However you say it, Haaretz.
The land.
Right.
Israel.
Right. This is an Israeli newspaper. Big one. Maybe the biggest. Okay.
I like the pet food over here.
Yeah. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tells World Zionist Congress that Hitler only wanted to expel the Jews, but Jerusalem's Grand Mufti convinced him to exterminate them, a claim that was rejected by most accepted Holocaust scholars. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sparked public uproar when on Wednesday he claimed that the Mufti of Jerusalem, Haj Amin al-Husseini, was the one who planted the idea of the extermination of European Jewry in Adolf Hitler's mind. The Nazi ruler, Netanyahu said, had no intention of killing the Jews, but only to expel them. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around this, isn't it? I mean,
well, not from what the rabbi told me. No,
well, I know, but well, for one thing,
he added a new dimension to it. Yes,
right. But for one thing, there, in my opinion, it's 100% BS because
Mufti sold the land to Rothschild.
I know that, but what I'm saying is, Hitler never tried to exterminate the Jews. Never.
Some of them might have gotten exterminated, but it wasn't because of a plan.
And right, exactly.
If one of them got exterminated to the Holocaust.
Well, okay, but
if it was one of my kin, it'd be the same Holocaust too.
Right, I understand, but what I'm saying is,
there's 12 million Russians missing on this deal.
Look, they tried hard as hell to keep those folks in the camps healthy and safe. And they couldn't do it because the Allies were bombing the bridges, bombing the roads, the Germans were dying left and right of starvation and typhus as well.
It's pretty hard. I have no problem with the, a Holocaust going on. But it's hard to hit 6 million out of a population of 3.2 in 1941.
Right. And it's really hard when you look at in the World Jewish Encyclopedia and you see that according to them, from the years 1939 until 1945, most years the Jewish population there stayed absolutely stable. But then it actually went up some years.
Rabbi and I sat down and figured it up one evening. How many people do you have to kill to hit 6 million? He said, now the so-called Holocaust they talked about didn't start until 1941.
Right.
And all the Holocaust they did had to end by end of 1944, basically.
Yeah.
They would have had to murder 36,000 Jews every single hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the bovens weren't that big.
I'll upload a couple of graphics I've got that show you how long it takes for the oven to cremate a corpse, how long or how many ovens they had, and each oven would only accommodate one corpse at a time.
They didn't have any ovens at Auschwitz.
Yeah, they had five or six. But they were just there for, they didn't have any gas chambers. but they had ovens for disposal of.
Oh, burning the dead bodies.
Right, right. And anyway, okay, but to get back to what we're talking about here, Beebe said that one day, and then the next day, Angela Merkel, the PMS of Germany, Prime Minister, Sister, is what that means, in case you thought I meant something else.
Steroids.
Posterior, some, I don't know. Anyway, she said, this is from I-24 News, Germany on Wednesday said that responsibility for the Holocaust lay with Germans after Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sparked controversy before a visit to Berlin by saying a Muslim elder had convinced Adolf Hitler to exterminate Jews. Quote, all Germans know the history of the murderous race mania of the Nazis that led to the break with civilization that was the Holocaust. Chancellor Angela Merkel's spokesman Stefan Seibert said when asked about Benjamin Netanyahu's remarks.
She's not learned, she's never lost her Stasi lying ability, huh?
No. This is taught in German schools for good reason. It must never be forgotten. And I see no reason to change our view of history in any way. We know that responsibility for this crime against humanity is German and very much our own. Now, let's do the math here, Ghost. How long ago was the Holocaust? It's 2015. World War II was, I mean, the alleged Holocaust. It's 2015. World War II ended in 1945. Is that 70 years ago? Have I got my math
at
right?
At least.
It's 70 years ago. So Angela Merkel, who was born 16 years later, and all the probably at least 95 or more percent.
She's got to be the most anti-German person I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, her own party.
And I am just shocked that Netanyahu actually told the truth of the history that I've studied and the rabbi confirmed.
Yeah. Her own party is apparently revolting against her.
He said it was Jews inside Germany that sold the Jews out.
Yeah. Let's see.
And Jews outside of Germany, especially those from Britain.
Right. Well, I'm trying to find. I had a mainstream press article here about Merkel's CDU party, which is Christian Democratic something is what that stands for. They're actually revolting against her. And, you know, it's bad when you're a sitting head of state and your own party is sick of you.
Well, I'm not even a member of the either party. I'm sick of her, and I don't even know any much about her. I don't even like to look at her.
Right.
God. I've never heard a good thing about her yet.
No,
I cannot imagine why people voted for the thing. That would be like us putting that Janet Reno in as our president. Remember her?
Yeah, I remember Janet Reno. She's the one who enjoyed burning children.
Yes, she wanted to end child abuse by murdering them all.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm having trouble finding this article. I'll make one more try, and if I can't find it, I'll just
don't worry about it.
Sum it up. Merkel.
Sum it up.
Party.
Summing is better than dead air.
Yeah, I know. But dead air is good sometimes, too. Not on this show, but I'd like to hear some dead air on Mark Levin, maybe.
I'd like to hear someone at C-SPAN. Man, he talks about some boring crap.
Yeah, it used to be such a good channel, too.
I know.
You know, but anyway, yeah. Yeah, you talk about things that Merkel's up to. I mean, here's a story from 2 days ago where Merkel is plotting mass arrests of people online criticizing.
Every time I hear her name, I think of that TV show that had the scrawny little black kid named Urkel.
Yeah, Steve Urkel. Yep. Yeah, that was. Oh, I can't remember the name of the show. Anyway, it was a halfway cute little show, but It says, this is from Newsweek, and where Merkel's planning to arrest people who criticize German immigration policy online. German politicians and lawyers fear that an increase in anti-refugee hate speech on German social media and in public is violating the country's strict hate speech laws. as tensions continue to rise over the government's willingness to allow nearly 1.5 million asylum seekers to enter the country this year. On Monday, the anti-Islamic group Pegida, or Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West, held a rally in Dresden, which attracted an estimated 20,000 protesters. Now, Dresden, we're not talking about a city the size of Dallas or something.
Don't want the United States near it.
No, or Great Britain especially. Anyway, yeah, there's a whole document. As a matter of fact, I'll go find that documentary.
This is the new Dresdens. They destroyed the old one.
Absolutely. There's an awesome documentary made by Renegade Broadcasting called Hellstorm that is about Dresden. And I'll grab that off YouTube and load it in this post. But with a fair warning to anybody who watches it, that thing's hard to watch. I didn't even watch it in one sitting. I had to stop it and go do something else a few times because it's so horrible what we did to those people. But anyway, on Monday, they had their protest in Dresden, Pegida, 20,000 protesters. One protester showed up with a mock gallows and nooses labeled for German Chancellor Angela Merkel and her deputy, Sigmar Gabriel. Gabriel. I wonder what... You think he's an Aryan? Anyway, later, speaking to the crowd...
Sounds Semitic.
Yeah, doesn't it? Akif Pirinci, a Turkish-German writer, said it was, quote, unfortunate that the concentration camps are closed right now, in reference to what should be done about the influx of refugees, according to the New York Times. State prosecutors in Dresden are now investigating Pirinci's remarks on suspicion of hate speech. Under German law, anyone who makes a public comment that incites hatred or violence against a person on the grounds of ethnicity or religion can face up to 3 years in prison. Under the same law, a person can be imprisoned for attacking the human dignity of a person or group of people by insulting the group. So in other words, if you say, I don't want these rapist muzzies in my country, you go to prison in Germany.
We brought freedom to Iraq, who's more free than we are, when we should have been taking freedom to Germany.
I know. Well, I like the German people. I don't want to.
People I'm talking about. I'm talking about the government.
I know, but the way our government brings freedom is they kill about two or three million of you, and then bam, you're free.
Right.
You know, bomb a few hospitals.
Take out a few towns.
Take out all the electricity and the water. Refuse to provide them any kind of food, water, medication, now that you've turned their country into a sewer, and then let all the terrorists come live there. Anyway.
And after we destroyed it, all the terrorists fled to Syria.
Yeah. Now remember, Ernst Zundel got locked up for 5 years for denying all the lampshade bullshit and all that. And so, you know.
They're still looking for him.
Yeah. And they've got some Chinese lawyer over there, prosecutor. This is one German lawyer, Chen Zhou-jun, who specializes in information technology, this week filed criminal complaints against three German directors of Facebook and the managing director for Northern Europe. He says he previously sent numerous emails and letters to the company's German branch demanding that they remove posts and comments that violate Germany's laws. Now, doesn't he look German? Look at him, Ghost. Yeah, that's a straight up German right there, isn't it? All Germans have yellow skin and squinty eyes.
Looks Japanese to me.
Yeah, Chinese. But anyway, yeah. So it's about to get really interesting in Germany.
Well, maybe there's going to be another World War III break Germany loose for a change.
Well, if it does, I hope we're on the right side this time.
We never are we?
Well, it depends on who we is, I suppose.
I mean, we the government here.
Right. Well, it's going to be a whole different ball game trying to convince us to get on the wrong side of that kind of thing now because of social media, the internet, et cetera.
Oh, no. They'll just vote it in anyway. They'll get all those stupid McCains up there.
Well, they tried that with Syria, and it didn't work. Remember, just a few months ago,
That's because they were afraid Obama get there and make us hero himself and show up Bush.
Well, it wasn't. It was a coalition of the hawkish Democrats, all the Republicans, and Obama wanting to go do it. Is who was wanting to do it. And it was the people that stopped it. And what they were afraid of was a damn revolt.
Well, they're going to get a revolt. We go bomb another country.
Yeah. So what they've done instead is they've sent all these advisors over
drones.
There. Well, drones too, but they've got all these advisors.
People forget about the war going on in Yemen.
Yeah,
drones.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. But
we got high school kids just aiming at anybody that walks.
Right. Well, anyhow, that. Oh, here's another interesting thing about what's going on over in Germany. They're making a big major, big screen movie over there, a German language movie about Hitler. I don't know what the subtext is, what part of Hitler it's about, but the actor who's playing Hitler looks just like Hitler. And when he's out on the street in his, National Socialist uniform, you know, for filming and all, he said hundreds of Germans have been coming up to him wanting to take his picture and telling him, can he please bring back the concentration camps?
Great. I wish he could bring back National Germany.
Right, right.
Get out of that EU mess.
Yeah, they do. That Germany needs to be for the German people. Sweden needs to be for the Swedish people.
As much as I love France, France is going to deserve their oppression.
Well,
they don't do anything other than vote in another Zionist every time they vote in a new president.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure how much I trust all this, though, because, you know, I'll have to look into it. But if they're using the same electronic voting machines over there as we're using here, we have no idea whether or not there's any kind of real accuracy to the elections.
True.
You know, I mean, remember.
How can Merkel get elected?
Right. Remember, in the last American presidential election, our own former president, G.W. Bush.
Cheated.
No, he didn't cheat. He accidentally voted for Obama.
Well, he never was the brightest thumb on the hand.
Right. Well, what he did was, you know, we have a system in Texas where if you want to, you don't have to just vote electronically. You can fill out a paper form and scan it into the thing,
yes,
right?
The old system.
Where there's a record for that. But you can also just push the buttons and vote electronically. Well, what G.W. did... he filled one out and got it wrong. And he said, oh, I'm not going to use that one. He set it aside and he filled out the other one and he checked the box for, I guess, Romney. Yeah, that's who was running against him last time. And it's hard to keep up with all these cucks. The cucks all look alike to me. But anyway, he loaded the wrong one into the machine and he bitched and raised hell. And they told him, hey, man, you voted. Too bad. It's the law. Nothing we can do.
Good for him.
For who?
I didn't want him to vote in that illegal alien from Mexico.
Well, it's not like, you know, I
have a good right Kenyan standing there than not Mexican.
I don't know why I even cared. You know, I tell people all the time that unless there's some local election that I'm interested in or statewide election that I'm interested in, I never turn out to the polls in November. The reason I don't is I turn out to the polls during the primaries and do my voting and my activism then, because there's usually somebody running who I want to support. And, you know, and that's when you can try to get your items onto the agenda at the party convention and that kind of stuff. But, by the time November comes, my vote doesn't count because we have the electoral college where whoever gets the majority of the votes in each state, they get all the electoral college votes for that state.
That's not. Every state doesn't do that.
Well, Texas does it.
Just depends on which state you're in.
Right. Well, Texas does it. And that means that no matter who's running, Texas, and it doesn't matter who you vote for, all the votes from Texas are going to go to the Republican every time. So.
What about that break?
Huh?
What about that break?
Oh, you need a break?
No, you were the one that said it 30 minutes ago.
Well, I was planning on it. Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Just keeping it Texas on RFT. Just keeping it Texas the way it ought to be. As Texas as chili and barbecue. Keeping it real for me and you. Just keeping it Texas. Radio Free Texas, where you wanna be.
RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
Are you an unpublished author? You can get your manuscript published at incredibly low prices. TGS Publishing is the largest print-on-demand publisher in Texas. Visit TGSPublishing.com for more details. Order as few as 50 copies of your book and keep your capital for marketing. TGS Publishers can get your literary work into print and published. TGSPublishing.com.
The liberty of Texas is under assault. The American Constitution has been shredded. The 10th Amendment has been forgotten. The meaning of freedom has been perverted. Washington's values and the values of Texans are opposites. Texans are victims of tyranny not seen since Santa Anna. Obamacare, oppressive taxation, porous borders, more socialism, and firearm restrictions. Sam Houston said, Texas will again lift his head and stand among the nations. It's time for Texas to be free. Texas independence now. The Texas Nationalist Movement.
Welcome back to Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
All right, we're back. Did you enjoy your break, Ghost?
Oh, yeah, I need some more break.
It's okay to take a break as long as nothing's broken, I guess. Well, while we were on our break, I had Ghost watch a video from Fox Business where the Stuart Varney interviewed Donald Trump,
and Stuart Varney just gave me one more reason to hate Fox.
Right? Yeah, he does that.
What a moron!
He does that every day. I think
what
for an
irritating
for an
hour
a day.
Moron.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, it seems like, and it's not just Fox that now Varney's on Fox Business, but it's not just Fox that does this. All the big cable news networks do this now. They get you to tune in because they interview somebody that the viewers want to watch, and then when they get them on there, they want to shout over them. You know,
I don't want to hear their opinion. I want to hear the guest opinions.
Right, right. Well, anyway,
Varney means nothing to me. He means to go stay in London where he belongs.
Right, the city of London where he belongs.
Well, I was thinking a little deeper.
Well, anyway, yeah, the whole thing with Trump's a big mixed bag, you know, and in my opinion, it's very, very possible that, you know, Trump is doing the bidding of the same people that the other politicians are doing the bidding of. And his job is to, convince all the masses of, Americans who want an end to the jobs being offshored and the, borders being open and all that good stuff, to think that they're accomplishing something by voting for Trump. That said, I still say that if you're going to bother showing up to the polls and voting for somebody, you might as well vote for Trump because he's the only one who even says.
Well, right now, the only reason I'd vote for him is because he's the only one that's not a politician.
Right, right. But he's the only one who says that he'll do some things that would be good for us. Every single other politician who's running, whether it's with the Republicans or the Democrats, are openly bragging about how they're going to screw us.
Oh, yes.
You know, but,
we haven't been screwed enough.
A lot of the stuff that they ask Trump, you know, he on there, like, about bringing businesses back. Yeah, it's a good idea, but I've been doing a little research on some of this stuff that Trump's promising to do. And for a lot of it, there's nothing that can be done. Like, have you ever looked into what it would take to get out of NAFTA? All three presidents.
Didn't sign it.
No. All three presidents who signed the thing and every congressman who voted for it all have to sign off on getting out of it.
That's not a legal contract then.
Well, maybe not, but that's the way it's written. And, now, what I'm thinking needs to be done is the parts of the United States that don't like this crap need to just leave the United States.
That's right.
And then the contract will be null and void.
You know, we've heard this from Republicans and Democrats over the years about let's change the tax structure so it forces the companies to bring American jobs back.
Yeah.
Screw the tax structure and screw the companies. You make a law.
Yeah.
You cannot sell your shit here.
Right.
That's just real quick to end that problem.
Right. Well, and here's another thing. Even though he's the biggest immigration hawk out there, Trump's too squishy on immigration for me. You know, I mean, like I say, it's the he's the least worse, according to what he says. But he's talking about he wants a big, beautiful door to keep bringing immigrants in. And, you know, he just wants them all to come legally. Well, that's kind of doublespeak, because right now we have a situation where you can't migrate here as a white person, for one thing. And we're also full up. No matter who we have coming here, we're full up. Our welfare systems, our social services and all are stretched way beyond the breaking point.
These people do not understand them coming over here to get jobs means they're going to take the worst possible jobs at the lowest cost per hour. And they're going to end up being slave labor, technically, to the corporations, merely to pay all these white people's unemployment benefits and welfare checks.
Yeah, but they don't pay it because...
They don't pay it now, but if they're coming over here legally, they're going to be paying it.
No. The ones who are here legally are abusing welfare the same way that the illegal ones are.
Yeah, they're going to have to work.
Well, that's not the law now.
That's what they're bringing them over here for.
Well,
screw the white people out of their minimum wage.
That's what they're bringing the Indians over here for and such. But when they get them here and they work at these little tiny wage jobs.
Telemarketers.
Yeah, those are coming. Those calls are coming from India. But they go on the welfare immediately because they qualify for it all. They come here and they bring a wife and a grandma and 10 kids and their brother and sister and all, and they all live in one house and they apply for welfare. One of the odd things is now that we have all these Mexican immigrants here, the number one demographic for welfare is no longer single mother households. It's impoverished households with married people. So in other words, you've got the Mexican guy who's doing landscaping or whatever, and the wife at home with 10 kids, and we're paying for them. You know?
Republicans have done a very fine job since 1861.
Well, they all have. Both sides have.
They started us on this route.
Well, yeah, but it's the Democrats who are pushing it so hard because they know that all these immigrants coming in,
are merely Republicans number two.
Yeah, as long as they're
Republicans number one that screwed us over.
Yeah, but as long as it's non-white immigrants, they know they have imported a Democratic voter for life. A Democrat voter, not Democratic.
But the Republicans are banking on.
Now that we're on this little subject about the non-white immigrants being for welfare state and voting for it and all that, you have a book called, what's it called? History of the Aryan Races. Is that the name of it?
Exact title for you. Race Life of the Aryan
Peoples. Race Life of the Aryan Peoples. Read that little snippet that you read to me, I believe, from the introduction about the Aryans being the only ones who broke free of the love of tyrannical government or whatever. Could you read that little snippet?
No, I won't read it because I don't know where it was at the moment.
Okay.
I can paraphrase what it was.
Go ahead.
That basically the you can tell the Aryan races by their literary and arts productions. That makes sense?
Yeah, but that's not
the other culture. Huh?
That's not the thing I'm asking about. There was a paragraph that you read to me where it said that the Negroid and Asiatic and Semitic races always had been and still are great lovers of despotic government.
Oh, well, that's true, but that's part of it.
Yeah.
Because the Aryans were lovers of freedom, and they spent more time. They're the only culture that ever built statues, the only culture that ever wrote poems, the only culture that ever wrote books, basically.
Yeah, and it's
not saying they're the only, you know, not saying that black person never wrote a book. That's stupid. But we were the ones that built it and built the language for it. The entire music system we have is built by Aryans, which were the ancient Greeks. And that's how you can trace their culture.
Yeah, and it also said that it said that the Aryan peoples were the only ones who had ever, not only the only ones that had written poetry, but they were the only ones that had ever taken the form of poetry as lyrics and applied it to music.
True.
And of course, for any of our detractors out there, that absolutely does not mean that we don't think non-whites have made music with words in it. We're talking about who did it first.
Established it so that it's
an actual art form.
Right. And so yeah. It's a norm that anybody can apply to. And so that any African could actually come in here and make an American-type music-styled song, and we would understand it and enjoy it.
Right, right.
Because if he came up here and sang it in Zulu or something, we'd never understand it.
Right. Well, anyway,
I think English being one of the major identifiers of Aryans.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The English peoples, the various different ones, or not English, but British peoples, the various different ones, whether you're talking about the Celts, like the Irish and the Scottish and the Welsh, or you're talking about Anglo-Saxons or Normans or whatever, those are all Aryan peoples, you know.
Basically, all of Europe was Aryan.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, from Greece all the way north.
Yeah. Well, you gonna post that book in this post tonight where the listeners can check it out if they want to?
If you want me to.
I would like for you to. Maybe we'll sell a book eventually.
It's a two-volume set.
Yeah. It's a pretty one, too. Big old, it's like a big full-size coffee table-size book, right?
It's 8.5 by 7.
Yeah, that's a big book. Yeah. Big book. Anyway, and it's got a beautiful cover. When we get done, I'll tweet the cover out so people can see it. But where do you think the world would be today without the Aryan peoples?
Well, we were the Aryan races were the builders of civilization. They were the ones that brought in the farming. They brought in till the soil. They brought in cities. They brought in the industrial revolutions. And we talk about the one we know in recent history, but there have been industrial revolutions in the past where we jumped from stone axes to metal. All it was done by through the Aryan system and Aryan knowledge.
Yeah. And another interesting thing that you were telling me about, tell us what the similarity between the names of the nations of Iran and Ireland are.
Ireland comes from the word Aryan.
Uh-huh.
And it's even closer because one of the spellings of Aryan starts with E-I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the land of Ire.
Ary, yeah. That's why the Romans
Iran is Aryan in just a shorter version, shorter term.
Yeah.
And it goes on like that. I mean, there's cities and stuff that follow the same thing over in Norway and Scandinavia in that area.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the old song goes. I believe it was a folk song, and Thin Lizzy remade it in the late 60s or early 70s. The song's called Ary, and it starts off, "In the land of Ary, where Set the High King faced with a problem, the dreaded Viking."
Yeah, that,
you know,
the gods.
Right, right. And
the word Ary means land.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to know another interesting thing? You were talking about how, like, the Brahmins and the people who came up with the various Hindu legends and stuff were Aryan peoples,
yes.
Right? Okay, well, you know how in the Hindu mythology and the artistic representations, the gods are represented by being colored blue?
Yes.
Well, one of the biggest Celtic, specifically Irish, mythological figures, Cú Chulainn, and much of the artistic representations of him, he's like 20 feet tall and his skin is usually blue. Isn't that something?
It is
something.
With this book, it says the Aryans appeared on the in ancient history now, very, very ancient history. They appeared on the earth somewhere between the Vedas and the Sanskrit.
Yeah. Well, and as we talked about on our show about Atlantis, the Atlanteans were Aryans, right?
Very were. And so were the they're black and white Lemurians.
Yeah.
And the smaller population was white.
Yeah.
And the larger black population migrated through to South America.
Okay.
And the white population evidently ended up in the California area.
Well, that would explain some things. You know, down in South America, there are some ancient statues that the faces on them have a just 100% Negroid appearance. They've got the big lips and the wide nose and all that stuff. And historians and anthropologists have long speculated that perhaps this was because of African seafarers, but they would always discount that because the Africans were never a seafaring people. They didn't even have written language or invent the wheel or anything.
Teutonic plates shifted. They were all connected.
Right. Well, it's these Lemurians.
Well, the Black Lemurians. They might have been African too at the time.
Well, they may have been, but I mean, these that could be an explanation for those statues is that these are the Lemurians.
Very little known about Lemuria compared to Atlantis, but
yeah,
it was definitely the white race that came out of Atlantis, and they were a tall, blonde, white race.
Right, right.
That's what was interesting in that video clip you showed earlier. There's all the blonde heads in that meeting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and another interesting thing about it is no matter how we look when we grow up, more often than not, when you have a white father and mother, until they get well past puberty, the children are usually blonde. You know, I was blonde as hay until I was about 16 when it started turning a little darker brown.
Blonde is just an earmark of the ancient culture. Blonde right. No longer the earmark for an Aryan.
Well, no. And it's never been like some kind of a required thing. And that's a thing that I encounter a lot with people when they try to discount the existence of a white race or whatever. They start hollering, well, you're not blonde-headed and blue-eyed. Hitler would have gassed you. And no. Hollywood Hitler might have gassed me.
Well,
but no, there was no requirement of blonde hair and blue
wherever
eyes.
Wherever the Aryans have conquered, they have mongreled.
Yeah, yeah.
But over generations, the Aryan comes back through over and over again because the culture they conquered and married into does not return to their old ways.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a doctor in the old South. I wish I could remember his name because, you know, it's real hard to find anything about it through Google, but he studied the slaves and he studied race mixing throughout his entire professional life. And he's the guy who came up with the antiquated classification. Ooh, it's thundering out there. Anyway, he came up with the antiquated, classifications that we have for various degrees of admixture between black and white, like if you were half black and half white, it's mulatto. If you were 1/8 black, it was octoroon, that kind of thing. And according to what he studied, he said that when a white mixes with a black, they'll still have a black appearance until the 29th generation. Now, this could be completely pseudoscience, and it was all from his observation. But
29th generation?
29th
generation. Always.
Well, he's saying that's how long it takes to get the last. Of course, back then they used terms like drop of blood instead of DNA. But that's what he's saying, how long it takes until they're no longer considered mixed.
Well, what they're studying, though, is once the marriage or intermingling has happened, they never return to the old ways of the other race. It always goes to the Aryan side. Because the Aryan side was smarter, more versatile, more freedom-loving.
Yeah, but what we have going on now in our societies where all this mixing is so encouraged in the media and school and everything.
We're talking about force mixing. We're just talking about
what happened
naturally.
Right, but what I'm saying is in our society, and this may be something social, but virtually 100% of the time, when you have a white parent and a non-white parent, whether the non-white parent is black or Asian or Latino, whatever it is, the child never identifies as white. They always identify as whatever the other race is. Now, of course, there's a lot of artificial promotion of this, like if you know when you go looking for a job or trying to get into a good college or whatever, the last thing, if you're mixed, the last thing you want to tell them you are is white.
Yes.
Because you lose all the fake hand ups and all that and the racial quotas, and also, you know, unfortunately, it's starting to really seep into the younger generation, especially these millennials, that it's bad to be white. Most of your leftist politicians that are out there now will do anything to try to, and not just politicians, but like, you know, they're constantly outing these college professors and stuff who, and it's not white people outing them, it's Indians, are outing these white professors who become the chair of American Indian studies and such, and they claim they're American Indians, and the Indian tribes will say that they don't look very Indian, and they'll start doing research on their ancestry and say, wait, what is this? Why is the head of Indian studies at University of Southern California 100% Anglo? You know, and she's wearing our turquoise jewelry and feathers in her ears and all that stuff, but that doesn't make her an Indian. You know, it's this cultural appropriation, I guess, they're always crying about. And I don't blame them. I guess, you know, if there's supposed to be a position that's for an Indian, give it to an Indian. I mean, if you're going to have
American Indian who has a noble history different than anywhere else on the planet.
Yeah, depending on which ones you're talking about.
I mean, but
yeah.
It's just talking about they're able to survive,
yeah,
without tools, without weapons, without cities, and they did it for millennia.
Well, you say able, others,
quite capable.
Others will say forced because of lack of ingenuity, lack of inventiveness.
Well,
the American Indian never, is like the African, no, never invented
but
the
he
wheel.
Excelled at this more than any other race,
yeah,
that would choose that lifestyle.
I suppose. Well, now I kind of disagree. Now that all the white races lived that lifestyle until they invented things.
Well, yeah, but then we were also in a different land, a different type,
right,
of setup.
Right. Sure.
There were people there for us to conquer.
Well,
what
about the Eskimo, though? I mean, you could say the same thing about them. Look at the climate they live in, and they do it without tools. And
that's true.
You know,
that's a very strange story.
And you've got the Laplanders. I mean, they have some tools and stuff, but they've lived way up there.
They always have the tools.
Huh?
They didn't always have the tools.
No, but I mean, the tools that they use. I mean, I'm sure now they have, you know, tractors and all that stuff. But just when I was a kid, they were still living in conditions that we would have considered like 1800s type, you know, like they would have their log cabins that were heated by fireplaces and, you know, got the reindeer pulling their plows and stuff like that.
Talking about West Virginia.
Or Amishville. Yeah. But anyway, well, Ghost, we had a lot of other topics to talk about, but the show has gone, pretty long. You want to maybe do another show tomorrow? Talk about Russia and all that stuff?
You want to? You want to tell people right now about Russia?
No. I don't want to go another hour.
Oh, no.
Another hour. But anyway, everybody, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I know I did. Did you enjoy the show, Ghost?
Yeah, I think it was pretty interesting tonight.
I think so, too. And go ahead and mark it on your calendar. It'll be an extra show tomorrow. Unless I change my mind.
We'll have a Halloween show Wednesday.
And Wednesday. Well, I mean, it can be a spooky Halloween-based show Wednesday, but we're going to have a Halloween show on Halloween.
Saturday.
On Saturday. We're going to come back Wednesday. Wednesday is the show that so many people like because it's the show where Ghost picks the topic, and it does not come out of the news cycle. It comes out of the paranormal, ancient history, that kind of thing. X-Files, yep. And I certainly enjoy those shows. I learn a lot, and I'm interested in the stuff. I wish we still had good entertainment and, you know, in our mainstream entertainment about that stuff.
Babylon,
you know,
5.
Well, I never really liked that one. I can't watch anything that's got Bruce Boxleitner on it.
Well, you'd have to watch the whole series to understand the whole meaning of it.
Yeah, it started off with Hercules. I watched it for a little while, but it just never was much my thing for some reason. But, and, you know, back in the day, we used to have really good sci-fi movies, really good horror movies and all that. And everything that is out there now, and believe me, I am not so old that I'm a cranky old man. I'm a cranky middle-aged guy. But there's nothing out there for anybody who wants some intelligent entertainment. There really isn't.
I've been cranking up the old X-File reruns just to find some I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to talk about that's really big this week that fits in with this discussion is the Star Wars 7 thing, and we can talk about that tomorrow, too. So, you know.
I'll be a newbie there. You have to talk about it.
Huh?
I'll be a newbie on that, and you'll have to talk about that.
Oh, you got it. I know all about this one. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, and Star Wars was really, the first three movies, that was some really, really good stuff. It was all based on, or the sub themes were all based on, basically Aryan myths. It was, he consulted with, Joseph Campbell, who is a person, he's passed on, but is a person whose writing I am a great admirer of. He was a professor of mythology, I think up in Minnesota or somewhere like that, but he's the guy who wrote The Power of Myth. Mm-hmm. And, George Lucas consulted with him heavily on the mythical sub themes and, you know, of the various roles of the characters and the religion surrounding the Force and all that. So
it's like that movie about, Oh Brother, How Art Thou?
Oh, that's a good movie. Now, a lot of people don't like it because of some of the people involved with making it. And I certainly don't care for the Coen brothers.
No, that was a damn good movie.
And I don't care for, what's the actor? The main actor, George Clooney. But yeah, that's,
I love George Clooney on anything he plays.
Yeah, well, not me, but, I don't like him personally. I don't like his politics. He's a freaking communist.
Politics.
He's a communist. All these rich actors are communists. But anyway.
I think my day is not going to be happy with that remark.
well, anyhow, but yes, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is absolutely
mythology.
It's amazing. It's based on the Odyssey by Homer. Mm-hmm. It even starts, I mean, it's so
it takes a while to understand that's where they're coming from, too.
Well, it didn't.
First time you see it.
It didn't take me long because the old man, the old blind black dude on the railroad tracks was the Oracle, and that's how the Odyssey yeah. starts. The Oracle telling them about the adventures they're going
to
take.
It's hard to place something back in, what, 1800s or early 1900s yeah. into the Odyssey.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else, and this is just personal. Any type of movie where the heroes are convicts who redeem themselves is always very personally gratifying to me because I am an ex-convict who is always trying to redeem himself.
Yeah, but, you know, we were talking about shapeshifters the other night. Well, let's think about this. How many prisoners are in jail because the shapeshifters took their form and committed a crime, and they really are the innocent ones?
Well, that's what happened to me every time.
I know it did.
I didn't do nothing.
It was somebody else that shapeshifted into your being.
I know. I didn't do nothing. Well,
think
you know, that's
possible.
That is a weird thing. You know, they say every person has
a double.
No, it's more than one. Every person has something like averaged out 2 point something doubles, you know, and I know I have one, or I had one. I don't know if he's still alive. I haven't heard this for 20 or 30 years now, but when I was growing up, of course, I lived over towards Tyler, a little in the country outside Tyler. And when I would,
that's where you are now.
No, I'm outside Coffee City now, but, I used to have to come here to buy beer and liquor when I was a young wild man and still drank. And every time I would come out here, whether I stopped at the gas station or the liquor store or whatever, when I'd walk in, the people would start talking to me like they knew me. And when I say, "Hey man, what, I don't know what you're talking about." They go, "Oh, whoa, I thought you were this other guy. Are you related to him? You look just like him." I'm like, "Never heard of him. He must be the one doing all these bad things that I get blamed for." But anyway, yeah, the shapeshifter show was a good one too. We had that's the night that the day we posted that was the night that the, website went down for a couple hours and, I was busy all day and didn't get to promote the show on social media at all. And yet we still had, a whole lot of listeners. Yeah. A whole lot of listeners. So, anyway. I want to say, for the record, that we appreciate everybody who's listening to this show.
All the Snickers I'm waiting for.
Yeah, whether you're listening because you like it or whether you're listening because you hate me, whatever it is, well, I appreciate it. And for those of us, or for those of you who are fans of the show, I want to tell you I'm your fan. And people on all the people following me on Twitter and stuff, they know that's true. If you're my friend and you're out there listening, man, we appreciate that. And especially with all the people who are helping share the links and all that, we thank you. You thank them, Ghost?
Next year, Jerusalem.
Next year, Jerusalem. Today, your love. Tomorrow, the world. Good night, everybody.